The Sunday Baroque podcast is made possible by WSHU and the Friends of Sunday Baroque. You can find out more about the Friends of Sunday Baroque and find out how to become one yourself by visiting our website, sundaybaroque.org, under the Contact tab.
Brandon Patrick George is a member of Imani Winds and an in-demand soloist who has performed with many of the world's leading ensembles, including the Los Angeles Philharmonic, Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, and the International Contemporary Ensemble. And he describes his new album as a dialogue between the past and the future. It's a walk through musical history spanning 300 years. It includes music by Johann Sebastian Bach, Sergei Prokofiev, Pierre Boulez, and the living Finnish composer Kalevi Aho. Brandon Patrick George joins me on Zoom to talk about his life and career as a musician. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So first things first, in this time that we're living in, how are you doing in this time of COVID?
Oof, it depends on the day, honestly, and the moment in any given day. I travel so much for work that it has been nice to be home. It has been a bit of a forced vacation, if you will, just to not be able to travel. I miss my colleagues and making music with other people, and I certainly miss our audiences. But this opportunity to be home has given me the chance to celebrate birthdays and, you know, anniversaries and things like that that I've not otherwise been able to be home for. So that much is really nice. But it certainly is a challenging time figuring out where do we go from here and how do we get back to making music with one another and for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm a flute player too, and I've been reading some things where flutes are the worst instruments for spewing our aerosols.
Yeah, that's what they're telling us. So, you know, I don't know until there's a vaccine or if there's some real serious distancing protocols put into place, what will really be possible in terms of safety. I'm really looking to Europe right now, as I'm sure you know, many chamber groups and even orchestras are doing smaller scale, socially distant concerts. And they seem to have found a way to move forward. And I hope that we can implement some of those things here in the US and somehow to move forward.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got all these exciting professional things that we're going to talk about, but I want to dial it back and I want to hear, how did you get your start in music? You know, how old were you? And was it in school? Were you from a musical family? Like, what are the roots of your interest and involvement in music?
Well, I do not come from a musical family, but I grew up listening to lots of music, and my family, I grew up listening mostly to popular music, funk, R&B, that type of stuff. But with my grandmother, you know, rhythm and blues on the weekends. But my grandmother was also a really big fan of PBS. And I would watch the Live from Lincoln Center performances with her. And I was so moved by the orchestra. And in cartoons, I always identified with, I would get so happy when I would hear the flute. The sound really connected with me. And when I was in the fourth grade, I wanted to try out for the band. And I had in mind that I wanted to try to play this instrument that was very shiny and pretty that I saw hanging in a pawn shop window in Dayton, Ohio. And I saw kids carrying this case around my elementary school, and I realized that cute case had this same shiny instrument in it. And it also happened to make that same cool sound that I love so much when I would watch the orchestra on PBS or when I would hear cartoons, the soundtrack, and I had to play it. So I asked my mom, could I try out for the band? And she said, sure. She was supportive. And I tried out and I could not make a sound. I just couldn't do it at all. And they said, maybe you can try another instrument. I was very adamant. I said, no, I have to play the flute. And they said, come back next year. So for a whole year, I would walk to school trying to figure out, practice the technique into blowing into the flute. And a year later in the fifth grade, I got it. So they let me in the band in fifth grade. And I guess the rest is history. They gave me that flute and I never put it down.
Wow. Do you remember what kind of an instrument it was? What make? Probably a Gemeinhardt, right?
Yeah, I want to say it was actually no. My mother rented for me an Armstrong.
Okay.
Also made in Indiana, which has been a good place for instrument manufacturing in the country, especially for student models. So I had an Armstrong at first, and then later a Yamaha, and then eventually, once I guess became pretty serious, got the Gemeinhardt.
So speaking of flutes and flute makes and the shiny flute too, I noticed that you play at least a couple of different flutes, and I believe you're a Powell artist. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I've played many flutes over the years, notably flutes by Powell in Boston, also Muramatsu in Japan. Mm-hmm. Those are the main flutes that I've played over the years. Yes.
And I also noticed that at least one of your flutes is not completely shiny silver. You play a wooden flute, one of your instruments, correct?
I actually have, yes, I've played a wooden pow. So it's a modern system flute, but made out of Grenadilla black wood. And I also play a Baroque flute. And it is a Thomas Lott copy that was made by Folkers and Powell, Baroque flute makers that were based here in New York State for many years.
Mm-hmm.
So I play a variety of flutes that are not the same shiny one that I saw as a kid.
Yeah. So how are they? Explain how each of the instruments is different from one another, and also how do you choose which one you're going to play for a particular piece?
Sure. What I can say, the most distinct difference between the wooden instruments and, take for instance, a silver, gold, or even a platinum flute, which I've also played, is the response and quality of the tone color. Wooden flutes tend to have a more darker, round sound. It is not only because of the wood, but because the bore, the tube itself, is denser, it is thicker. So that creates a more depth to the sound, a warmer sound. And this sound is one that would have been more common during the 19th century, when the modern flute system was first introduced. So if you were to think about composers who were writing at that time, such as Brahms and later Mahler, they would have known a flute that could do all of these technically advanced things because of the key system, but one that would have a bit of a warmer quality to the sound because of the wood. So very often I have used my wooden flutes for performances of symphonic music from the 19th century. And I've also used it for Baroque music as well. Of course, it does not completely compare or even stand up to the dark quality of the Baroque traverso flute, but I've used it for Baroque performances as well.
Yeah. Did you use a variety of flutes on your CD?
I did use a variety of flutes for the CD. And when I originally conceived the project, there were two featured, the Powell Blackwood flute, and also a platinum flute made by Powell for the World's Fair, I believe around 1932. And that is a very well-known instrument in the flute world because it was played by William Kincaid in the Philadelphia Orchestra for many, many years. And so many great recordings with Eugene Ormandy and other legendary conductors, that flute was featured. It also gained quite a reputation when it went up for auction in the 80s, fetching well over six figures, which was the most that a flute had ever been sold for. And I think in today's currency, it would have been the equal of, I don't know, 400 grand or something, but you can buy a platinum flute for, I don't know, $50,000. So it has quite the reputation. And when I originally conceived the project, I wanted to have this dialogue between the past and present, both the composers who were looking forward and other composers looking back for inspiration, also with the instruments that were kind of futuristic at the time. You know, no one was really building platinum flutes like this in the 30s. But then now, fast forward to the 21st century, it's very common for modern instrument makers to take the modern flute, but not make it a silver or gold, but to actually go back to wood. So I wanted to have that dialogue. So when the album is released on September 18th, people will be able to hear this platinum flute for the first time in many, many years. And also there was a video done of me playing the Powell Blackwood flute, some box, so people will be able to actually have a video experience and hear that instrument.
Wow, very cool. So 2020, despite all the stuff that's going on, 2020 is a good year because this is the year of your debut CD, yay. Mm-hmm. And it is quite a mixed bag, as you have just mentioned. You've got Bach from born in 1685, all the way up to Finnish composer Kalevi Aho, born in 1949. So how did you specifically choose the repertory on this CD? And more importantly, what do these particular pieces mean to you?
Mm-hmm. Well, this, as you said, this is my debut recording. And I wanted a program that was very broad in scope. One that truly reflected my interest and the wide variety of repertoire that I play. Very often, I think people like to compartmentalize and put people in different categories. Oh, this is a person who plays contemporary music, or this is a person who is a Baroque historical performance specialist. And I didn't want that. I wanted to have a recording that really reflected the wide variety of repertoire that I play. Now, at the same time, I have always been interested in history and how we learn from history and change the future, and how the past shapes the future. And I thought it would be very fascinating to take a program that would start with a composer like Bach, who, in my mind, was sort of an innovator, and with, not sort of, but definitely was an innovator. And the piece that I featured, the Partita for solo flute, was highly unusual for its time, especially given that we, as flute players, play a monophonic instrument. We are really only capable, most of the time, of playing one note at a time. And so to have a piece that has the flutist act as both soloist and accompanying voice was very, very unusual. But there's a connection, if you fast forward to the 1990s with Kalevi Aho's solo three, he does the same thing in his in the presto movement. There is what he calls hidden counterpoint. So where Bach was writing implied counterpoint, you have the bass line and the melodic line that the flute is jumping back and forth playing. Clevy had the same idea to do something very similar, but he wanted to do it from a 20th century perspective. So with the technological advancements of the flute and the how fast we can play, the wide range that we have now, he wanted to show that off. But really, in terms of the writing, was looking back and finding inspiration from Bach. And then with the Boulez, we have a sonatine. It's a sonata in one movement. The form is pretty much straight. It's very clear that there's an introduction, there's a slow movement, that there's a bit of a scherzo, that there's a trio, and that there's a finale. So we have this very traditional structure, but what Boulez does is he abandons traditional tonality. He just completely gets rid of it. And I was so fascinated by that, because then to round out the program, I have Prokofiev's Flute Sonata, which, written in the early 20th century, is very, very classical in its writing, extremely classical. So I really conceived this program not only as being one that is very broad, that reflect my interest as a flute player, and also a very big program, sort of a go big or go home sort of attitude, but that also that these composers are sort of, it's a conversation between them, the ones who were looking forward and innovating, and those who were also innovators, but looking back and finding inspiration in the traditions that had been set long before. Mm-hmm.
You also collaborated with two different pianists on your recording, Stephen Beck and Jacob Greenberg. How did you choose them? How do you know them?
Steve Beck and Jacob Greenberg are two phenomenal pianists that I've had the great fortune of working with here in New York City. Steve and I have played many great works together, mostly I would say works of the 20th century, and onward, so contemporary works. Jacob Greenberg is another phenomenal pianist that I've worked with also in my work with contemporary music. But Jacob's interests are similar to mine, that he likes to juxtapose the old with the new. And I found that to be very, very useful for my approach to the Prokofiev, which is sort of as a modern in 20th century masterpiece, but very classical. And I found that we could approach it in that way together. And it just really, really gelled. And Steve Beck is just so incredible, both musically and technically. The Boulez has a monster piano part. It's definitely not a work where the piano is the secondary instrument. If anything, sometimes the flute is definitely the secondary instrument. And so it takes a lot of courage to tackle a work like that, in addition to being incredibly brilliant technically and musically inspired. And he always brings all of those things. And so I really wanted him to play that piece. And I thought that it would be a fantastic opportunity for me to, because very often you have an album where if there is a pianist, there's only one. But I thought, why not collaborate with two different pianists that can both really bring their unique qualities to those compositions?
So you're balancing this marvelous career as a soloist, but you are also now a member of a very prestigious wind quintet, Imani Wind. So what's it like? How is that different from your solo work? And what's it like to collaborate in a chamber group like that?
Imani Wind's, I can honestly say, is a complete dream. They're a phenomenal, phenomenal group of musicians that I have looked up to since my college days when they visited and gave a guest artist recital. And it's completely overwhelmingly inspiring to work with them. In Imani Winds, we are a quintet that plays really everything from the early 20th century onward. And the group is always actively commissioning new works. So it's incredibly exciting to be a part of an ensemble that is really shaping woodwind music. And the concert experience, we often visit conservatories and give master classes both on our instruments and for chamber ensembles. And it's incredibly inspiring to see that these commissions that Imani Winds has been responsible for are becoming standard in the repertoire. So these conservatory students are coming, they're not just playing them because Imani Winds, you know, is coming and they have to play one of the Imani Winds specialties, if you will, but really people are out there performing these pieces. Imani Winds has always championed music by composers of different backgrounds. Long before this was a conversation that a lot of arts organizations were having, they have been on the front lines trying to always advocate for a variety of musicians from different backgrounds and have that reflected in the compositions that they play. So that also is incredibly inspiring. So to be a part of commissioning and performing chamber music at the highest level is really inspiring. And as a flute player, we historically haven't had the same kinds of opportunities that our string friends have had to play chamber music. You know, there are many great string quartets. We can name them, the list will go on and on, piano trios. But wind quintets very often have been members of orchestras or faculty ensembles at conservatories. So it is extremely rare to have a full-time wind quintet that's traveling the world playing this repertoire. And not only playing the repertoire, but mostly new repertoire and new commissions for the group. So it just goes without saying that it's incredibly inspiring.
Great. So what's on your wish list for the future? I mean, you got your shiny gold or shiny metal flute, silver flute, whatever. But what kind of projects, what, you know, musical or otherwise, what kind of projects do you want to tackle? What's on your wish list, Brandon?
My wish list is so long.
I had a feeling that was going to be your answer.
And it's changing all the time. More collaborations in the near future. I'm hoping that when we are able to safely gather again, that I can have some collaborations with singers. I've always been incredibly inspired by The Voice. And I love sopranos, mezzo sopranos. And I really think it has a lot to do with my instrument and the range. So I would love to collaborate with more singers and chamber music. Some recordings of the flute repertoire, continuing my interest as always in juxtaposing the old with the new. So throwing some standard repertoire out there while also recording some new works that people might not know. Since we've been in quarantine, I have really discovered some new works that I hadn't known before. For instance, I'm very interested in Ruth Crawford Seeger, who was an incredible figure in 20th century music. I think she's most well known now for her work with folk music and documenting folk music with her husband, Charles Seeger. And of course, most of us know, if you're familiar with folk music, Pete Seeger, her stepson. And But I hadn't really known a lot about her classical compositions until Imani Wins played her wind quintet last season. And I was so fascinated that during this time that I've been home, I read a biography of Ruth Crawford Seeger and decided I had to learn some of her music. And I realized that she wrote a lovely piece for solo flute. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to get that out for everyone to hear and hopefully inspire young musicians to really step outside of your comfort zone and discover composers that that you might not know about. There's some really, really excellent music out there. So outside of practicing, kind of encouraging students to do some reading, read some biographies, do some research and find some new works. The classics are great, but we can also, as I did with my album, show how newer works are inspired by that great, rich classical repertoire. So I'm hoping that on my next recording project, be able to highlight her.
Excellent, excellent. I'm gonna go look up that piece now.
Diaphonic Suite by Ruth Crawford Seeger. It's a wonderful piece.
Excellent. Well, I've been speaking with Brandon Patrick George, flutist of the Imani Wins and soloist. Congratulations on your debut recording, and thank you so much for a great conversation.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.